This is the tale of how physicians on both sides of the Cold War divide reached out to each other to stop what they saw as the madness of the nuclear arms race. The seed was planted in 1946 when the New Yorker magazine devoted a full issue to interviews with survivors of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, Japan, that claimed 120,000 lives a year earlier. The article was read by Bernard Laun, a brilliant 25-year-old doctor who had emigrated to America from Lithuania at age 13 and would later receive the Nobel Prize.
It was a searing story that had not been told. The magnitude of the horror, the capacity of human beings for the first time to make life on Earth unlivable. But to be honest, it didn't penetrate. The story was told and I suppressed it. I didn't respond in terms of action, translation into deeds. It was there, a sort of meandering anxiety in the back of mind.
What if a warning siren sounds? What should you do? Look for cover, the nearest cover. Don't try to make it home unless home is the nearest place to go. Don't hesitate. Find cover. Finding shelter quickly may save your life. If you can't get into a house, get behind a wall or a steep embankment, on the side, away from the city.
An instructional film shown in elementary schools in the 1950s, one of many frightening messages Americans heard about the terrible destructive power of nuclear warfare. It formed the backdrop for an age of apprehension that fueled the armaments buildup of the Cold War between Soviet Russia and the United States. Dr. Laun didn't take up the problem of nuclear war until the early 1960s, when he was a professor at the Harvard School of Public Health.
At that point in my life, I was nearly at an apogee of a career in medicine. I had focused on the issue of sudden cardiac death. Now, sudden cardiac death is the leading cause of fatality in the United States. It claims probably a life every 90 seconds around the clock. It comes unannounced, and in 25% of patients, it's the first indication of having any heart disease. The thinking in medicine at the time was that sudden death was the end stage of advanced heart disease. My research led me to an opposite conclusion, that it was an electrical accident that was reversible and preventable. And I went on to develop the defibrillator, which revolutionized the practice of medicine by virtue of this concept.
That's what the EMTs might
bring. What you see all over.
A defibrillator uses electrodes affixed to a heart patient's chest. It delivers an electrical charge that can restore heartbeat, saving the patient's life. Dr. Laun also developed a machine that can correct rhythmic disturbances of the heartbeat. While working on these cardiac devices in the early 1960s, he was invited to a lecture by Philip Noel Baker, a British Quaker and Nobel Peace Prize winner, who discussed a very different type of technology. The story is recounted in Laun's memoir, Prescription for Survival.
I was preoccupied with the problem of sudden cardiac death, and attending and listening to Philip Noel Baker made me realize that what was confronting humankind was not sudden cardiac death, but sudden nuclear death. And that's when I called together a number of doctors right here in this room.
We're sitting in your living room.
And these doctors were young Harvard docs of the Brigham, the Beth Israel, and the Mass General. And we'd come and meet here every 2 weeks and try to ponder. At first, they were uneasy, skeptical. What could doctors do? Was it legitimate for doctors to concern themselves with these social, political issues? And my argument was, I think, eventually persuasive, that human survival is not a political issue, it's a medical issue. Hammering away, it's a medical issue. If your patients die, it's ultimately a health issue, a challenge to you as a profession. So we were meeting, and there was a sense of desperation because we began to understand the magnitude of the issue, the instability of the nuclear establishment, the fact that it was a house of cards that had to collapse. What should we do?
House of cards in the sense of?
In the sense that nuclear arms were accumulating, and the very nature of nuclear weapons is that you have to strike first.
Because you're no longer around to strike in retaliation.
Yes, because if you strike first, you diminish this, do away with the silos of the opponent, and therefore delimit the harm, the destruction that you confront. So you have to strike first. The other one knows that you've built up more, so the other is building up more.